Hey, this is DJ Detour with my show Behind the Bits on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I wanted to start off the beginning of this show to talk about, what a surprise, horses, but to talk about why horses are maybe not for everyone, not to discourage anybody, but just some, I don't know if warnings is the correct word, but things to be careful of. So first of all, as many people already know, horses are expensive animals. They, you know, you have to take into account a lot of different factors, not just there. If you decide to board your horse somewhere, you have to pay board every month, which includes their food and someone cleaning up after them. But on top of that, if they have shoes, they're going to need to get their shoes every so often or their feet trimmed, along with vet bills, which can add up pretty quick. And there's a whole lot of other things to factor into it, including buying tack for them, getting feed, supplements. I mean, I could go on and on and on about all the stuff that you need for them. But that's definitely one thing to factor in when you're thinking about a horse as a pet. Along with the fact that, you know, unlike, you know, if you wanted to go to the Humane Society and get a cat, it's not really the same with horses. Sometimes you can get them at the Humane Society, but that was not my point. My point was more that you need to be a lot more educated to get a larger, more time-intensive animal like a horse. A lot of things can go wrong if you are not knowledgeable and experienced with them already. There's a lot of different, you know, colic is really common horses. And if you're unaware of the signs of colic, you know, your horse can die pretty fast, which is not good and not something you want or anybody wants. So that's definitely one thing to consider. Just colic, along with, you know, the way that their digestive system works, what foods they can eat, what foods they cannot eat. There are, you know, just to talk about illness is one thing, because there's a whole bunch of different illnesses. I mean, if you didn't know that you needed to clean their feet, they could get a whole bunch of abscesses and other nasty stuff going along in their feet. If you don't know how to handle them, you can not only injure the horse, but injure yourself, which is also dangerous. They are very large animals. And if you don't know how to handle them, a lot of them will take advantage of you because they know they can. So for people who are considering them as pets, I would not recommend to go out there and buy one. Taking lessons is a great thing, along with sponsoring horses or even leasing horses. There's a lot of places even just around here where you can go and take lessons. And you could, I mean, some places you could just take one lesson if you only wanted to take one. Other places you could buy like a 6-pack of lessons. So you have 6 weeks of lessons to try it out and see how it goes. There's also different programs that teach you more about not just riding horses, but about general knowledge, which I kind of just talked about a minute ago, which is very important. You want to have that. And the next step up from taking lessons from an instructor would be to sponsor a horse, which I am personally struggling with right now, trying to find a sponsor for my horse to make it a little bit easier to afford keeping him. It's difficult to find the correct match for a horse sometimes. Some horses are a little more easygoing than others, and it might be easier to find a person that would be able to handle the horse. But of course, with mine, he likes to take advantage of people, as a lot of them do, and a lot of ponies love to do that. Take advantage of people and just kind of do whatever they want. And I can tell you, as the owner, watching that happen is like, it's torturous. I'm like, oh my God, I swear he's not that bad. He doesn't do things like that when I'm on him. But so finding the right match for a horse you're sponsoring as well is very important, because you want to have a good relationship with the animal and a safe environment. And another thing you need to, that I should have mentioned just a moment ago with knowledge, is knowing kind of signs that your horse can give you. So to me, it might be really easy to say, well, if my horse puts his ears back, he's going to be upset with me. But other people may not notice that, and that could cause potential harmful situations to either the horse or yourself, along with knowing when they're alert or when they're, you know, if they're looking at something and you're like, wow, what are you looking at? And it could be something like a plastic bag, which a lot of people wouldn't think twice about, but, you know, horses do not like plastic bags. So also a potential bad situation that could happen there could fly out and your horse could freak out and have a panic attack. And it's good to know, you know, oh, my horse is looking over there. Well, that's why he's looking over there. So another important factor into owning an animal like this or being around animals of this size is to understand what their body language means and what it means towards humans versus what it means towards other horses or other animals, because they definitely have a little bit different interaction, obviously, with people than with animals. Sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be a bad thing. And if they don't have a different set of behaviors towards each, that could also be a potential bad thing. So those are some things to take into consideration when you're thinking about horses, and if you were thinking about having a horse as a pet, because a lot of people, you know, horses are very beautiful animals, and unfortunately a lot of people purchase them because they are beautiful animals and will do things like just, oh, okay, well, you know, I have this big pasture at my really nice mansion house and I'm going to put a bunch of horses in it because I like the way that they look. And those horses sadly are going to suffer because of those people's lack of knowledge. So that was kind of one of the things inspiring me to talk about that they are not pets for everyone. They're definitely for more experienced individuals, and they are definitely more than a lawn ornament and a little more complicated than getting a cat or a pet goldfish. So that's going to sum it up for Horses Are Not For Everyone. We'll be back in a couple minutes. This is DJ Detour with my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. If I could only stop my mind from wondering what I left behind and from worrying about this way. We'll be right back. Hey, this is DJ Detour back with my second segment of Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So for this segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about the opposite of what I just talked about. So I'm going to talk a little bit about benefits that you can get from owning a horse, riding a horse, or being around horses. To start off, one of the benefits is going to be being outdoors. So today in our society, we spend a lot of times indoors at jobs, at school, at home. We spend a lot of times indoors and paying attention to a lot of different sources of media. We're watching TV, we're on the internet, we're on social media. So being outdoors with an animal is always a positive thing. And it gives you a chance to appreciate nature a little bit. And, you know, if you go trail riding, it's a real, really good time to appreciate nature. You know, depending on the trails around here, I know that there's a lot of really, really gorgeous trails that you can go ride on. Get to see really pretty views. Get to just spend time in quiet, which is really nice. And along with that, if you are riding a horse, you have the benefit of exercise, which exercise is always good. But horseback riding in specific is one of the few sports that uses almost every single muscle in your body. You're using everything from your eyeball muscles to your toes. I mean, you really have to, if you're really riding a horse, you use so many muscles that you never knew you had. And if you don't ride horses and you go ride a horse, which, you know, a lot of people have had, if you go to Mexico, you go on a trail ride, the next day, your thighs and your butt are going to be killing you, along with, depending on the ride that you have, I mean, other muscles like in your arms or your shoulders that you didn't know that you had are going to be hurting because you gave them a really good workout. And a lot of people I know going to school and just having some friends that would always say, you know, oh, horseback riding, all you do is sit there. It's got to be really easy. They're definitely wrong. Not that any of them are gutsy enough to ride a horse and find out. But you definitely, if you just sit there and you don't do anything, most likely you're going to end up on the ground, which is not a good thing. So you do use a lot of muscle groups. You also use a lot of concentration. You're going to be concentrated on your animal, what you're doing, where you're going, not looking at the ground, because, you know, there is a saying, you know, if you're looking at the ground, you're going to end up there. So it definitely combines a lot of exercise and concentration, which is a good thing. And I definitely enjoy it as a form of exercise. For me, it's a lot more rewarding than going on a run or being on a treadmill and running, and I can't stand doing that. And this is a way to get a really good workout, be outside, and be doing something you enjoy. It also is a very good stress reliever because of the relaxing environment that you're most likely going to be in. Sometimes it's not relaxing, but generally speaking, it's a very relaxing environment. You go, again, like I said, on a trail ride, appreciate nature. It's going to be really calming. I know when I have stuff that I get angry about or upset about, or, you know, a whole bunch of homework or a whole bunch of work stuff going on, that riding my horse is something I can always do to kind of get away from all of the stress and thinking too much about all of it and go and concentrate my energy on something else that's going to be rewarding to me in multiple different ways. It's also a very good activity to learn balance. And, well, you definitely have to balance. And at different gates, it can be more difficult for different people to balance and stay centered on the horse's back. And horses do notice when you're not centered. A lot of horses that are caring about the people that are on top of them will try to keep you centered. So if you're leaning to the left, they're going to try to go under the left to stay underneath you, which is a really cool thing, but sometimes can be a pain in the butt when you're doing something on purpose, like grabbing something off of a fence and they're trying to help you out and you're like, no, it's okay. So it definitely helps with balance. I've talked a lot about another sport that I do, which is vaulting. And that's another equine related sport that really helps you learn your balance. And in a lot of places in Germany, you have to learn how to vault before they will allow you to ride horses. Because when you learn how to vault, you're learning how to balance yourself and you're feeling your horse's gait. And there's no connection between the rider and the horse's mouth. A lot of beginner riders make the mistake of, you know, you're holding reins. A lot of people make the mistake of trying to balance themselves against the horse's mouth, even if you don't realize that you're doing it, which is, you know, most people don't realize it, but they'll be pulling on the horse's face so that they don't lean back. And that's not good for the horse. You know, we want to be good to them and not pull on them, as, you know, we don't need to do that. It doesn't feel good to them. So vaulting's a really good way to learn your balance on a horse, as well as not on a horse, but a good way to learn it without having any negative effects for the animal. So that is a very good way to learn balance. Another positive thing is that you're going to meet people. And I know that since I started riding, all my friends pretty much have been at the barn. I didn't go to traditional high school for very long. I ended up going to a independent study program so I could spend more time with my horse and not have to spend as much time in a classroom that was not very constructive. In addition to that, all my friends were at the barn anyways. I didn't really have a whole lot of friends at school. And to this day, I don't have a whole lot of friends that are school friends, to say, but most of my friends I've met out at the barn, people that you have a lot in common with, you can go ride your horse with, and, you know, you're horse freaks with them. You can be weird horse people, and, you know, I could probably talk to my best friends all day about horses and nothing else and not be bored. And if I did that to a normal person, they might, you know, think I was weird or something. But you'll meet a lot of really cool, interesting people. And I know working in the feed store that I work at as well, I've met a lot of really interesting people most of them are part of the horse world. So it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting to see all the different people that you meet and form connections with. So I definitely have formed a lot of lasting connections with people, lasting friendships. So there's lots of benefits to owning a horse, in addition to the fact that you own a horse and they're really awesome, cool creatures. There's also, in my next segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about the courage and the bond that you form with your horse. So we will be back in a couple minutes to talk about that. This is DJ Detour on my show Behind the Bit, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Hey, this is DJ Detour, backed with my next segment on my show, Behind the Bit. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So for this segment, I wanted to talk some more about the courage and bonds that you form with these wonderful animals. So first, I've talked about before on my show the natural horsemanship that I have done and different techniques that different people use. And mainly what I wanted to talk about was the authoritative, compassionate relationship that you form with these animals if you do it the correct way. It definitely, I think, helped me be a more courageous person. To handle a horse, you definitely have to show them who's in charge, because otherwise, I don't know, 90% of them are going to take advantage of you. But after you show them who's in charge, they're very compassionate towards you. They're going to listen to what you're trying to communicate to them to do. They're also going to, they're going to definitely, you know, that you're going to be part of their herd, which is kind of hard to explain, but there's definitely a very compassionate relationship that's formed, and you'll be able to, you know, after you learn with your relationship with your horse, there's different times when your horse could use a very firm hand and like, hey, you need to stop doing that because that's not acceptable behavior. But there's also times that you'll find when it's like, okay, you're obviously having a bad day, so I'm going to be compassionate towards you, my animal, because, you know, I can tell you're having a bad day and, you know, things aren't working out right now for the both of us. So there's definitely times when you'll be able to tell the difference of how to react to them. And it's a very unique bond that you form with your horse. They're unlike, you know, I have no comparison to any other animal that's like horses to me. They're very special creatures, and it's really amazing to be able to form such a close bond with such a huge animal. And, you know, it's, they become one of your friends. They become part of your family too. And, you know, if, you know, my horse has an injury or something, I'm going to be worried about him 24/7, even if he's probably fine. But because he's a part of my family as well, and, you know, it's a very close bond that you form with your horse. And a lot of people call it, what do they call it? Rounding up, or no, not rounding up. Tying up is one word that a lot of people in natural horsemanship use, which is, you know, definitely when you get a new horse, there's not that same bond that you have with a horse that you've had for a long time. It's not really the same at all. So to be able to have formed that bond with such a huge animal, and, you know, have them be compassionate towards you and you're compassionate towards them, it's a good feeling. And, you know, I don't know how else to explain it other than that they're really a part of your family. And, you know, it's really amazing. And another thing I wanted to talk about is a term that a lot of equine enthusiasts use, is getting your cowgirl stripes. I talked a little bit earlier about how horses are definitely not for everyone, and they're definitely, you know, riding horses is definitely a sport where you need a passion for what you're doing, and you're not going to let anything get in the way of it. So when I say cowgirl stripes, what I'm talking about is falling off and getting back up again. I have had two broken arms from two different equine-related incidents. You know, the first one I was, I don't know, 10 or 11, and I fell off of a pony and unfortunately put my hand down to break my fall and instead broke my wrist. That was really fun, and I had to have that rebroken in the hospital. So that would be one of my cowgirl stripes. The second time I was dealing with a horse that was what we in the equine world call green. She was in training. She was not very trained, and she was my project that the barn that I ride at had given to me to kind of, okay, try to deal with her, see what you can do. And I really enjoyed riding her, and I still to this day enjoy riding horses that are less experienced. It's very rewarding to me to get to teach an animal something and have them react in the way that I want them to react. And it's a process, and it's very cool to see the end result of it. So that would be another one of my cowgirl stripes, was I was bridling her, and I think something must have startled her, and she reared up and hit me in my upper arm, and I fell back, and I'm not sure if it's her knee that broke my arm or the fall that broke my arm. But, you know, and then after that, of course, I had to go chase the horse down and put her away, which was really fun with a broken arm. And that was another one of my cowgirl stripes. I've gotten injured at vaulting competitions. I think it was last year, I hurt my knee pretty bad, and that was the first time I ever had to have an EMT help me walk out of the arena. That was upsetting, but, you know, something that is also good to realize in all of these scenarios that I'm telling you is that 90% of the time when people fall off, it's rider error. The horses, you know, well-trained horses do what they're told to do. So most horses are not going to try to make you fall off, and it's definitely not their goal. So a lot of times it is rider error. Very rarely is it the horse's fault that you fell off of them. You know, if you lose your balance, that is not your horse's fault. That's your fault. And that's something that has been very important along my horse riding career, is that you have to know that it's your fault, and that, you know, you need to do something to improve, because it is not that animal's fault, because, you know, they are just trying to listen to what you're telling them to do. And we'll be right back.
All right, right now I want to bring a brother to the stage, a legend here in Jamaica and also all over the world, Mr. Jimmy Cliff. Look at him, he's sharp too, eh? All
right. Love. No.
Hey, this is DJ Detour, back with my last segment on my show Behind the Bit on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So we had some technical difficulties here. I'm not exactly sure when I lost you guys, but sorry about that. I believe it was somewhere while I was talking about cowgirl stripes or cowboy stripes, whatever you want to call them. And that's what we call getting off the horse and getting back on. A while ago, we had a little girl at one of our vaulting practices fall off. And unfortunately, she broke her arm. And I think she's about 7. So, you know, myself and my friend went over and told her that she was getting her first cowgirl stripes. And she was a trooper about it. She kept telling us that she was upset because she wouldn't be able to go to the vaulting competition that was coming up, which is typical behavior from us horse people. Just like, oh, what, but I got hurt. I don't want to not go to the competition. So it was very cute. She earned her first cowgirl stripe, and of course she's better now with a healed arm. So that was to wrap up my last segment. Kind of giving some insight to how horses can give us a lot of courage and a really cool bond that really can't be found anywhere else. And I just wanted to, since this is my last show, I was going to talk a little bit about what I talked about in the very beginning, which is how I came to be involved with horses and why I like it. So I started riding when I was 4 years old, and my grandpa bought me horseback riding lessons. Unfortunately for my parents, that was not the end of it. He got me hooked, and since then I have been riding horses. I love them, obviously, as you can tell, but I started riding then. I've been riding to this day. I got my first horse when I was, I think, in 7th grade, and my aunt let me, I guess you could say, borrow her horse, who is a 20-year-old Arabian standard bred, which is also called an All-American show horse, and let me have her for a little while. She hadn't been ridden in 10-plus years. And she was a handful. She's a very sweet horse, but she definitely gave me an insight to, okay, maybe this wasn't such a good first horse for me. She really taught me a lot of different things. She taught me about natural horsemanship. That's where I learned a lot of those skills, was from her and taking a lot of lessons with her to try to train her again from the ground up. And I was not as successful, I think, as I would have liked to have been. I don't think I, at that time in middle school, was able to devote the amount of time that she really needed. In addition to that, she was 20 years old. And I think she was just kind of done. And she's still happy and healthy to this day, living back in Oregon, and is a pasture mate with some really pretty longhorn cattle. But she also kind of, I think, now taught me that just because I wanted to ride her did not mean that she wanted me to ride her. And, you know, I think she made that clear. I definitely, on the ground, we came a long way from when she first came here to when she left. We accomplished a lot in my book, and I learned a lot. So I'm very grateful to have had her for the period of time that I had her and learned everything that I learned from her. And after that, I went on the next horse hunt, which is, you know, just as bad as trying to find a car. It sucks. But my trainer at the time found, you know, I found horses to look at. She found horses to look at. I looked at a lot of horses. I even almost bought one before the horse I have currently. And the people lied and told us the horse was 12. And the vet check told us the horse was 20-ish. So that was a fun surprise, too. Luckily, I found, well, my trainer found for me and took me to try out the horse that I currently have. And he is, some people call it an appendix, but he is 3/4 quarter horse and 1/4 thoroughbred. He was kind of an accident, funny enough. Both of my horse's brothers are full thoroughbreds, and they're much bigger than he is and much fancier than he is, which is just fine with me. I love my horse. And when I got him, he was 5 turning 6, and that was in 2007. So this year he's going to be 13, which is really weird for me. I feel like I haven't had him that long. I still feel like he's like 7 years old. But I got him and he had a long ways to go in his training. You know, he couldn't keep a steady pace because he didn't have enough muscle. So he just kind of ran as fast as he wanted to. He didn't want to go in a straight line. And he definitely gave me a really good arm workout. But he taught me a lot about consistency and dedication because he took both of those things. I've put countless hours of time and energy into training him and making him the awesome horse that he is today. Not that he wasn't awesome before. He has a really cool personality. I call him my 1,100-pound lap dog. If he could fit in my truck, he'd come home with me. But, you know, he can't fit in my truck. He loves people. He's a people horse. And I have people coming into the feed store all the time. And they're like, oh, my God, you know, that's your horse, blah, blah, blah. I love him so much. I give him carrots every day. So he has a lot of fans in my book. He'll come up to you and steal a sandwich out of your hand if you don't watch it. He's a very forgiving horse. I've made, you know, in my learning while training him, I've made lots of mistakes, and luckily, you know, he's thrown me a couple times, but I deserved it every time. It was my fault, like I said earlier. Every time I've fallen off my horse, it is definitely not his fault. It's me either not paying attention or losing balance or doing something stupid. So he's taught me a lot about that as well. Thank goodness, knock on wood, he has been a very easy keeper. And he's really taught me a lot. And finding him, I talked about a little bit earlier. I'm not sure if it was before our technical difficulties or not, but finding him a sponsor has been extremely difficult for me because he likes to be a little wacky with people, which is, oh my God, it's so sad to watch. But also in my equine career, I'm getting off starting to talk about my horse. I could just go for hours. But I did a lot of showing jumping because that's what I do. That's what my horse does, as well as vaulting. I am still competing in vaulting. And I've been vaulting for the past seven years. I've been vaulting for the last 7 years. And that's definitely added another perspective onto the horse world for me. It's very, very different from just getting on a horse and riding a horse. Although that's not easy. Don't make me sound like I'm saying that's easy. It's not. But it's definitely a very different perspective. The horses are trained for something very different, very specific. And you can't just, you know, I couldn't take my horse and try to make him a vaulting horse because I think he would kill me. But, you know, he's not the right type of horse. He doesn't have the correct demeanor to do it. And vaulting takes some really special horses, a dedicated team, and a very dedicated instructor, trainer, coach, which luckily I have on our team, and she's wonderful. But just another interesting perspective from another discipline that's much smaller than the jumping world. It's, you know, mostly vaulting in this country, at least. Most of the vaulting teams are out of California. There's vaulting teams all across the United States, but the largest population of vaulters is in California. And, you know, everybody knows everybody. You know, for me, at least personally, I know all the people that went to the World Equestrian Games for vaulting. Maybe I didn't, you know, I'm not friends with all of them, but I know who they all are. I've seen them at competitions. I've talked to them. So it's kind of cool to get that other perspective on the equine world. In addition to that, I work at a feed store, which has been really cool. And I've definitely learned a lot there about other animals, and I've met some really cool people, some very interesting people, and I've learned a lot about the products in the equine world as well. I know more about horse feed than I ever wanted to know now, but you know, that's probably a good thing. But horses, I think, have definitely over the years kept me out of trouble that I could have potentially been in if I wasn't a horse person. I've been passionate about them as long as I can remember. My life revolves around them. Obviously, I like to talk about them. I love my horse, and I know that I will continue in my life to pursue an equine-related life. So that is going to sum it up for my last show of Behind the Bit. And I hope everyone has, well, good luck everyone in finals week. And have a great summer. So this has been Behind the Bit with DJ Detour on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.